David loved God, and so did Jonathan. And when Jonathan saw a kindred spirit in David, their lifelong friendship began. So for the Christian, let me say it clearly, any friendship worth having is formed around a mutual love for Jesus.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we are continuing the life-changing message called The Power of Relationships. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more.
I once heard it said, "Show me who you hang with and I'll show you where you'll be 5 years from now." I remember thinking, "Really? That's pretty strong." But you know what? It turned out to be true. I've seen through the years that no one influences us like the people we choose as our friends. Friends can pull you up or knock you down. They will sharpen your walk with Christ, or they will dull you like striking an axe against a rock will take away its sharp cutting edge. The Bible is filled with exhortations and warnings about choosing the right kinds of friends and lifelong mates. So in today's message called The Power of Relationships, we're going to look at just how important this area is. Don't worry, I'm not going to judge you or point a long finger your way. We're just going to explore this topic in a balance of love and truth. So join me as I share part two of the message, The Power of Relationships.
You need to say to yourself, do they know him and walk with him before I ever go out with them? Or friendships, do they walk with my Jesus? Do they know my Jesus? Or are they serving other gods? If they're serving other gods, then I don't need to run with them. They're not my, as they would say in the Northeast, not my posse. He said, surely they'll turn away your heart after other gods. But look what Solomon did. He didn't listen to that. He thought he was above the word. He thought he was stronger than God's warnings. So Solomon clung to these in love. He clung to them in love. What happened? He got yoked. And for it was so when Solomon was old, watch this now, that his wives turned his heart after other gods. The wisest man in all the world, his heart was turned after other gods. He backslid, walked away from the God that had blessed him, walked away from the God who had anointed him, walked away from the God that had made him so wise, and he backslid into a level of darkness that's hard to comprehend. Because in his old days, in his latter years, he ended up building altars to foreign gods where children were sacrificed alive in fire to those false gods. He built the altars for that to be done, worshiping false gods. The man who gave us the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, the wisest man in the world, was totally corrupted, polluted, diluted, taken down, and ruined by wrong relationships. You say, oh, Jeff, I just don't understand how that could happen. He knew too much. Psalms 106 tells us exactly how it happens. It gives us four incremental steps every person that gets in a wrong relationship takes. And I'm going to show you, then I'm going to go positive. Everybody say amen. I'm ready for positive. Say it again, amen. But I got to show you, the Bible's so wise. I got to show you the wisdom of the word. It says in verse 35 of Psalms 106, now God had told Israel to have nothing to do with the idolaters occupying the land. We just read it. But they didn't listen. And here's what happened. It says in verse 35, but they mingled with the Gentiles. Everybody say mingled. That doesn't sound too serious to me. Mingled. Every week, I tell the staff back here before the 9 o'clock service starts, I say, well, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to Christian mingle. I'm going to mingle with the people. I'm going to Christian mingle. They know exactly what I mean. I'm going to come out here and say hello to as many of you as I can get to before the service starts, and I'm going to Christian mingle. That means just say, hey, hey, what's going on? Hey, God bless you. Hey, good to see you today, right? Mingle. Their slide down began with mingling, just hanging around with the wrong people, where relationships began to form. In other words, it started innocent, and that's how the devil always starts, innocent. The devil always wants to make you think, well, I'm not going to go all the way with this. I'm not going to go all in, but I'm just going to mingle. I'm going to walk around the periphery. I'm going to hang with these people just for a little bit, but I'll never go where they go or do what they do. And that's your famous last words. Because when you mingle, that means you're fellowshipping with them. And God had said, don't even mingle. Don't mingle. So they began to slide down. And they did it by this harmless, hey, Joe, let's have coffee. No, we're at Starbucks. And let's just talk about life. And they began to relate to them. And as they began to relate to them, the second thing happened. It says, then as they mingled with them, they learned. Everybody say learned. Learned their works. They learned their works. Just mingling. Hey, how's it going? Let's just shoot the breeze. Tell me how life is doing. As they mingled with them, then they began to learn their works. Now, that doesn't mean they learned their trades, how they made money. It means they learned to worship their false gods. They learned their works, talking about what they worshiped, what they did, who their gods were, who they bowed to, who they obeyed, who they worshiped. They began to learn their works, and their faith in the true God became compromised and corrupted, and they began to drift. Everybody say the word drift. Drift. The devil never comes to a believer who knows the word of God like Solomon and takes you from A to Z overnight. He doesn't do that. No, he knows if he's going to get you from A to Z, he's going to have to do it in steps. One, mingled. Two, learned. And the third one, they began to sacrifice. Now we're in steps. Mingled, learned, or I'm sorry, they began to serve. Not sacrifice, but serve. So they mingled and they learned their works. As they learned their works, they began to serve those idols. It says they served their idols, which became a snare to them. So watch this now. Here's the devil working on them, and he does the same thing with you and me. First, it's mingling, just innocent mingling, and then you begin to learn as you mingle. Oh, I worship this God. Oh, I go and I do this on Friday nights and Saturday nights, and this is the way I live my life, and this is what I believe, and this is what I don't believe, and this is what I worship, and this is what I serve, and you begin to learn. Mingling leads to learning, and learning leads to serving. Because they began to serve their idols, and it became a snare to their soul. It became, which became a snare to them. So everybody say, mingling led to learning. Learning led to serving. And they became trapped now. Now, what began as a curiosity is now a necessity. Because now they have become ensnared the way that God warned them they would become. They became ensnared by the very idolatry God led them into the land to destroy. Is that not ironic? God led them into the promised land to destroy the idols they're now serving. And now we go down to the bottom rung, the last stair. Isn't that interesting? There's four stairs here. One, two, three, four. Because there was four steps down for them. Mingling, learning, serving, and now it says, and they even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood. Now they've hit rock bottom. You don't go lower than where they are now. Now they're at Z. They began at A, now they're at Z. What began as harmless mingling has taken them down the dark road of sacrificing their own children to demons. Folks, listen, you know you've become ensnared in a satanic trap when you start sacrificing what is most precious in order to serve what is most vile. I could go into America right now. I could start talking about our country right now. Because are we not sacrificing our children to demons? Are we not killing our children all over the land in abortion? Now late-term abortion, now all the way up into after they've been born. If the mother wants, they can allow that child to die in some states. But see, that's the cost and the consequence of a nation forsaking God. Because we used to walk in the light. We used to honor the word of God. We used to talk about Jesus all the time. But now we've rejected him. We've begun to mingle with the works of darkness. And we began to learn the works of darkness. Then we began to serve the work of... Now we're sacrificing what is most precious to serve what is most vile. Amen. Come on, everybody. Everybody say, from mingling to learning to serving to sacrificing. And that's the way they were taken away. This is why the Bible says, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character every time. Say with me again, it matters who you hang with. Say it, let's say it together like we mean it. It matters who we hang with. But here's the good news. The good news is the exact opposite happens in a godly relationship. The exact opposite happens when you've got a godly friend. There's probably no better example of a godly friendship in the Bible than that of Jonathan and David. They had such an incredible godly friendship. You know, Jonathan was the son of Saul. Saul went crazy with jealousy over David. God had rejected Saul and chosen David to take his place. And Saul knew it. And when Saul saw the hand of God on David, he became green with jealousy. And the Bible says that Jonathan, on the other hand, was incredibly drawn to David because they loved the same God. They had faith in the same Lord. And so the Bible says that once they became friends, they were best of friends, loyal friends, committed friends, all the way to Jonathan's death at the hand of the Philistines. But I want to point out three quick things about the relationship between Jonathan and David. Here's a godly relationship. The first thing I see, their relationship was formed around a godly victory. Their relationship was formed around a godly victory. David and Jonathan met following the death of Goliath at the hands of David. That's when they met. The Bible says that immediately following this God-glorifying victory over Israel's enemy, that, quote, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. That was a godly knitting. The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And when did that happen? When did the relationship begin? What was the trigger? It revolved around and was formed in and birthed in a godly victory. It was formed around a mutual love of God. You know, if you'll stop and think about it, some relationships, every relationship forms around something. Some relationships form around mutually enjoyed sinful activity. Others are formed over mutual selfish pursuits. Most friendships are formed around shared values with people who are like us. That's why the saying is true, birds of a feather really do flock together. I used to be in youth ministry. It used to amaze me how you could get 100 kids into a room and you could have two rebels in the 100, and those two rebels would find each other in 5 minutes. It was like they had some kind of antenna. One could be over here and one over here, but those two rebels would find each other before the meeting was over because birds of a feather flock together without knowing it. When we meet people and we're looking for friendships, we have an inner antenna. It's scanning people for the same values that we hold. And when we find the values that we hold, we gravitate to them and make friends with them. That's why, look at who your friends are. It'll tell you a lot about you. And me. Amen? Amen, Pastor Jeff. Preach it. I'm really being blessed today. Amen. David loved God, and so did Jonathan. And when Jonathan saw a kindred spirit in David, their lifelong friendship began. So for the Christian, let me say it clearly, any friendship worth having is formed around a mutual love for Jesus.
Hi, everyone. I'm going to take a quick moment to share some exciting news. The Life Talk Radio broadcast now reaches throughout the country, and we sometimes receive emails and messages from our listeners saying, I wish I was in Fort Worth so that I could visit Turning Point Church and be with you in person. Well, while that may not be possible, we now have the next best thing available just for you. You can join us live in real time via our free webcast. It's this easy. Go to our church's website at tpcfamily.org. That's tpcfamily.org. Once you're on the opening page, just click on the Watch Message button. Follow the link and you'll be brought right into the service in progress. You can worship with us and then enjoy the message. We'd love to be a part of your weekly worship experience. You can join us for our 7 o'clock Wednesday evening service or one of our three Sunday morning services at 9, 10:30, or 12 Central Time. I look forward to welcoming you as part of our live webcast church family. Now let's go right back to today's message.
Now the second characteristic of the godly friendship between David and Jonathan is this. They protected one another. They protected one another from the enemy. They protected one another. They had each other's back. The enemy in this case just happened to be Jonathan's father, King Saul, who was out to kill David. Each and every day he woke up and said, today's the day I'm going to kill David. Insanely jealous, insane in his mind. He had the crosshairs of his life and the crosshairs of his entire Israeli army focused on David. Get him, kill him, take him out, take out my competition. And when it looked like Saul might very, very well succeed, Jonathan stepped forward as his protector. Listen to me, church. Jonathan said these words, by no means, you shall not die. By no means. David, I've got your back. If they're going to kill you, they're going to have to kill me. If you go down, I'm going down with you. David, I'm for you, with you. I got your back. When the enemy gets close, I'm not going to exit. When the enemy gets close, I'm going to get closer. David, I've got your back. We all need people in our life who will say, you know what? I see the enemy trying to get at you. And you know what? No way, by no means, you shall not die. You shall not go down. You shall not be defeated. I'm fighting with you. And Jonathan became David's protector and saved his life more than once from Saul's spear. And in the same way, folks, let me tell you, a godly friend will step in as a protector when he sees the enemy attacking you. Let me tell you about worldly friends. All you got to do is read the story of the prodigal son to learn all you need to know about worldly friends. As soon as the prodigal's money was gone, so were the far country friends. They didn't have his back. They didn't care anything about him. Listen, if you've got worldly friends that don't honor the Lord, let me tell you right now up front, they aren't concerned about your faith. They're not concerned about your spiritual victory. They're not concerned about God's purpose for you. They're just out to have fun with you, to use you, to take advantage of you. But the minute you take a stand for Christ, they're gone. They don't really love you. We need people that really love us. And the ones that really love you are the ones that love your Savior. And because they love your Savior and you love the Savior as well, they love you. Amen. In a godly friendship, your enemy becomes your friend's enemy. His attitude is, if the enemy attacks you, he has attacked me. And they will protect you. They'll protect you. Amen. They'll go into prayer for you. They'll fast and pray for you. They'll go into intercession for you. They'll come and confront you if you need to be confronted. They'll sit you down and say, what in the world are you doing? The enemy's coming against you. You call them at 1 o'clock in the morning and say, pray with me. The enemy is coming against me. I'm under a heavy temptation. And they are up and they are praying and they are there for you. I've had friends in my life, Christian friends, who said to me, Pastor Jeff, if you are battling the devil at 2 a.m, they said this to me, you call me at 2 a.m. What is that old song? You just call out my name and wherever I am, I'll be there. I just gave James Taylor a plug. But it's true. It's true. Everybody say friend. Godly friends. And you know what? There were a few times at 2 o'clock in the morning I did call them. And I remember hearing, you know, I woke them up and they're bumfuzzled and they're gathering their wits. And they said, but listen, I'm up, I'm grabbing coffee because you're under attack. And if you're under attack, I'm under attack too. We're going to pray this through. And they are my dearest friends today. And a third characteristic, and the last one is this, encouraging God's purpose for each other. If you've got a godly friend, they will encourage God's purpose for you. They will not drag you away from it. They will prod you towards it. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. And so a godly friend sharpens the countenance and the life of their friend. David had been appointed by the prophet Samuel to be the next king over Israel. A position, now watch this, that in the natural was Jonathan's. He was the heir apparent because Saul was his daddy. But Jonathan had discerned, God had put his hand on David to be king, and Jonathan was more committed to God's will for David than he was to his own desires. That's a friend. The Bible says that in the last meeting these two friends had, David was hiding in the woods from Saul, and he was very discouraged. And the Bible says, then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods. And look what he did. He strengthened his hand in God. That's a friend. Verse 17, and he said to him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. Listen to what he said now. You, not me, you shall be king over Israel. A true friend will come to you when you're in the woods. Come on, everybody. He heard that David was hiding in the woods, and he said, I'm going to get my horse. I'm going to go find him. I'm going to track him down. I'm not going to let him stay there alone in the woods. A true friend will find you in the woods of failure, find you in the woods of fear, find you in the woods of discouragement. A true friend will seek you out and find you when you're down, and they will strengthen your hands in God. Strengthen your hand in God. And they will say to you, wherever God, whatever God has for you, wherever he's taking you, you're going to get there because I'm with you. I'm for you, and I'm going to prod you into it. Don't give up. Don't hold up the white flag. It's not over for you. Even though you're in the woods, you're coming out. And David came out. Godly friendships. Godly friendships. So it works both ways. When God wants to bless you, he puts a person in your life. When the enemy wants to destroy you, he sows a person into your life. It's up to us to be very discerning. In closing, I got to tell you about the best friend you can ever have. You know who I'm going to talk about. The best friend you can ever have is the one who died on the cross for you. It's the best friend you'll ever have. Jesus has never betrayed me. Never walked out on me, never lied to me, never done me wrong, never forsaken me. He's always stood with me. I've had many people betray me, many people wrong me, many people come against me, but he never has. And I've learned that if I make him my best friend, I tend to pick people who have also made him their best friend. So can I encourage you, be sure that he's your best friend. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did. He laid down his life on the cross for his friends. And he died for you and me.
We hope you enjoyed Pastor Jeff's message. We want to thank you for faithfully listening to Life Talk. Our broadcast can now be found throughout the country, and it's an honor for us to play a part in your spiritual growth in Christ Jesus. As you know, the summer months when so many are on vacation can be financially hard on ministries like ours. We need those of you that are blessed by Pastor Jeff's teaching to stand with us in your giving. If you would pray about sending a special one-time gift or monthly support, we want to send you two beautiful booklets written by Pastor Jeff. The first one is entitled, Let the Journey Begin. It's designed for the new believer and is perfect for the loved one or friend that has just come to Christ. It will help them get their feet firmly planted in the Christian life. The second booklet is entitled, Let the Journey Continue. In this beautiful little volume, Pastor Jeff covers how to live the Spirit-filled life. Both booklets are beautiful, full-colored volumes filled with helpful illustrations and pictures to help you grasp the Bible's truths. Again, thank you for your financial support and making Life Talk a part of your daily source of spiritual growth. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To find out more about Pastor Jeff's ministry and Turning Point Church, visit us at lifetalkradio.us or call us toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. As a reminder, Life Talk is a listener-supported ministry. We exist to bring God's Word to thousands of people in your area on this great station. So your prayers and financial support go a long way in helping us with this endeavor. Thanks again for listening today. We look forward to meeting with you once again on our next Life Talk broadcast.